الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to another beautiful episode on the Silsila Treasures of Wisdom, and we pray and hope that you and your families are in the best of health. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Well, dear viewers of Madani Channel, today, Alhamdulillah, we have a very beautiful, thought-provoking topic of discussion, and that is, don't even say, oof, to your parents. And inshallah, joining me in today's discussion, I have with me in studio Maulana Naushad Attari Hafidhahullah Ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
How are you keeping, Maulana Sahib?
Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. And how are you doing?
MashaAllah, alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. Well, Mona Sahib, today we are going to be discussing basically the respect of parents and how we should implement in our children for them to adopt this mentality and this mindset to always be respectful towards their parents and other aspects as well we will be covering, inshallah.
Sure.
But before we go into discussing our topic of discussion, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that decorate your gatherings by reciting salawat upon me, because your recitation of salawat upon me will be a noor, a light for you on the day of Qiyamah. So let us all send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, dear viewers of Madani Channel, the greatest gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, one of the greatest bounties and ni'mah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, is our parents. Yes. And our parents, they are a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our parents, they are a very big support in our life. If children are in difficulties, if children are going through any sort of stress, depression, anxiety, any calamity, there is no one there other than the parents who will aid and be there for their child. That is why it is so important for us to respect our parents. And in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the high regard that we should have for our parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the rank, the status, and the dignity of parents in the 15th para of the Holy Quran, the 15th chapter in Surah Bani Israel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and the translation from Kanzul Iman, and your Rabb has commanded that do not worship anyone except him and treat parents with goodness. If one of them or both reach old age in front of you, so do not even say oof to them, and do not scold them, and speak to them words of respect, and spread for them the arm of humbleness with a soft heart, and request humbly that, O my Rabb, have mercy on them both, just as they brought me up in my childhood. Your Rabb is well aware of what is in your hearts. If you are righteous, then indeed He is forgiving to those who repent. Subhanallah. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the respect, the level of respect that we need to have for our parents. And under this ayah, Mufti Muhammad Sayyid Naimuddin Muradabadi rahimahullah, he mentions that when parents become weak, their body parts are left with no power in them, and they are left weak with you in their last days, the way you were powerless with them in your infancy when you were small. So do not say anything from your tongue that would express them being a burden upon you. Neither scold them, nor speak loudly to them. Rather, speak to them with such great manners the way a servant and a slave
Allah
speaks to his master. Treat them gently and politely. Treat them with compassion and affection, even when you are tired, because they brought you up with affection at the time when you were powerless.
Mm-hmm.
And more so, do not be stingy in buying them, in getting them what they need, the essentials. So to cut the long story short, no matter how much we may exaggerate in treating parents nicely and serving them in this world, we can never ever pay back the favor of our parents. That is why a person should always supplicate, a person should always make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for mercy to be showered upon our parents. And he should humbly make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying, "Oh Allah, my serving them cannot be a payback to their favor. Please shower mercy upon them so that their favor may get repaid." Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
And in another place in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. The translation from Kanzul Iman: and when we took a covenant from the children of Israel that worship no one but Allah and be good to parents.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
Now, under this ayah, Mawlana Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Muradabadi rahimahullah, he says that after commanding to worship him, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala commanded us to treat our parents nicely in a polite way. So from this, we find out that serving parents is extremely important. Treating parents nicely means that one should not utter or do any such thing that would hurt them, that would break their heart. And he shall not deny serving them physically and financially.
Mm.
The child shall be there when they need him. If parents command him to leave nawafil in order to serve them, then he shall leave nawafil, because serving them, serving your parents, is superior to nawafil.
Mm.
However, fard and wajib acts cannot be left upon the command of parents. So there are so many ways in which one can treat the parents nicely, Masab. And one of those ways is that one should love them from the bottom of their hearts. One should, you know, speak to them in a respectful way, in a polite way. When children look at their parents, then they should look at them with the eyes of love,
mm-hmm.
not with the eyes of having hatred or showing that I am the boss now and I'm looking at you like this. No, rather we should look at them with love.
Mm-hmm.
And also whatever, you know, lawful desires or wishes they have, maybe they need something and if they are old,
mm-hmm.
they do not have that strength in them to go themselves and get medication, for mm-hmm. example, or get whatever essentials mm-hmm. that they do need. And parents rely on their children to get all of that done for them. So this is also what we need to do. And all of these acts are encouraged And are told to us by the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are, you know, the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Muhammad, you know, the respect of parents is so, so important, so, so vast that we've just heard the ayah and the commentary of that ayah that after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that we must only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and after that, وَبِالْ وَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, that we should be good to our parents, mm-hmm. which highlights the importance of the respect of parents.
Mm-hmm.
But also nowadays, what we see, global pandemic, we may call it,
mm-hmm.
what we see is nowadays, children have lost that value for parents.
Mm-hmm.
Children do not hold their parents in high regard.
Yeah.
Nowadays, we see when children enter the home, then they are raising their voices above the voices of their parents, and at times scolding their parents, at times arguing with their parents and making their point go across, and at times even physically abusing their parents. And this was, you know, really fascinating to the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because, you know, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they held their parents in such high regard, in such a high level of respect, that when they would go into the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we've read this in the hadith, we've always seen that a companion would come and he would say, Fidaka ummi wa abi ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this shows that their greatest wealth, you know, when they sacrifice something for the sake of Allah and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they wouldn't sacrifice something which is small, rather they would sacrifice something which meant a lot to them, which was their greatest wealth.
Yeah.
And their greatest wealth was their parents.
Yeah.
And that is why they would say, may my parents, may my mother and father be sacrificed upon you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they witnessed even the period of Jahiliyyah. They witnessed the period of ignorance.
Mm.
And they were shocked to hear that, you know, close to the day of Qiyamah, people, children will disrespect their parents.
Mm.
They would disobey them, etc. And that is why they were so shocked. Which means that the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they held their parents in a very, very high regard.
Absolutely.
And this is the kind of mindset and mentality that we need to have also.
Mm.
So how is it that nowadays, not only in our community, but we see it around the world, we hear of so many cases where children they cannot see the respect of the parents. They cannot hold their parents in high regard.
Mm.
So for these children who are always disobeying their parents, who are always going against their parents, who are always violating the rights of their parents, breaking the hearts of their parents, how do they come to this matter that, you know what, I need to respect my parents? How do they come about this?
Okay, so when we're talking about children, we don't only mean little kids,
right,
and teenagers. We also include adolescents,
right,
even those in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s.
For as long as their parents are alive, no matter how old they
how old you can be, you are still the child of your parents. You are still their children.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously they are much older than you.
Right.
And because of them, you are there.
Mm.
So children need to realize, and again, children is of whatever age it is, that Islam has given them that due respect and status. And me as a Muslim, I follow Islam. That's what the Muslim does. A Muslim is one who submits to the will of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who follows what the Quran commands,
right,
who follows the Sunnah, follows the Islamic teachings, Islamic orders. So what does Islam say about parents? That you have to respect them. You mentioned some ayat of the Quran, and for showing the importance of respecting parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning about Tawheed,
mm-hmm.
and only worshipping Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, who is mentioning about rights of the parents,
right,
that they are to be respected, they are to be loved. So Islam has given this order. We can't decide that, no, because we are living in the day and age that we are, so we can just behave anyhow. Islam has given us clear set rules, and if we break it, there are consequences. I love how you mentioned that parents are a great bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You just need to ask a person who was an orphan, who never knew their parents, the value of parents, who never received the warmth, the love, the affection, the compassion, who never had that relationship with their biological parents. Ask them about parents. Ask the person now who has lost one of their parents or both of their parents. I mean, you hear people saying, I miss my mother. I miss my father. I wish, you know, at least one more time I could just sit with them, not even say anything, just be in their company, just look at them, make them happy. You know, I wish I could do that even one more time. Ask that person over there. And if you have your parents still alive and you're not taking full advantage of gaining their du'as, both mother and father, if you're not giving them that due respect, if you're causing hurt and harm to them in whichever way, then tomorrow when they are gone, who's going to cry? You're going to cry. And tomorrow, if your children do the same to you, you're going to think. It goes around, comes around sooner than you realize. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this great bounty of parents and given them that due respect, given them that respect that the children need to have towards them, given them that status. So what am I doing as a child? Right. Am I displaying that status? That's on one side.
Okay.
On the other side, it is necessary for parents to create that kind of environment where there is ongoing tarbiyah and training and nurturing of their children.
Right.
To teach their children that they need to respect the parents. But how this is done is, as experts mentioned, and we mentioned this before as well, off camera, off air, that subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, imagine if the father instills the respect of the mother in the hearts of the children and asks them, did you kiss your mother's hand? Did you kiss your mother's feet?
SubhanAllah.
And the opposite as well.
Right.
If the mother instills that love and respect of the father in the hearts of the children and tells them, did you kiss your father's hand? Did you find out how his day was at work today? You know, so both ways, the parents have that responsibility and the duty. Something I heard on Madani channel, or one of the Mubaldiqeen, I can't remember, was saying that, especially in the setting that we have today in this era, the 21st century, if you want your children to remain yours, then you and your children enter into Dawat-e-Islam.
SubhanAllah.
Because Dawat-e-Islam is always emphasizing, always reminding, always teaching. Amirul Sunnah Dawud Barakatul Aliya. All the time you're hearing him about parents. Respect your mother, love your mother. Respect your father, love your father. Because that love is of a different level.
Right.
It's a different level. Obviously, it's not the same as you would love your spouse.
Right.
It's not the same as you would love your own children. It's not the same as you would love another person, another Muslim, or anything else.
Right.
It's a different type of love. And the parents' love for the children is, there's no strings attached.
Unconditional.
Unconditional love. And the parents will love you unconditionally more than any other person. More than any other human being. Yes, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's a different category altogether. We're not going there.
Right.
But I'm talking about in your setting, in your environment, as compared to maybe your uncle, your auntie, your grandparents. Yes, I mean, very rare you'll get the case where the parents, they were not good with the child. Maybe they abandoned the child. And then the child was under the care of the uncle, the auntie, the grandparents or something. And they took them as the parents. But nevertheless, even if the parents are not good, you still have to give them due respect. Even if the parents are non-Muslims, the Sharia says that you have to still give them their due respect. You have to obey your parent unless they command you to do something against Sharia. Then the Shari'i ruling is that you disobey your parent in that circumstance. But you don't have to fight and sway and scream and, you know, use vulgarism and hurt them. No, politely you decline. I can't do this. This is against the Sharia. Because that is priority now.
Right.
Priority is the law of Allah and His Rasul, Azza wa Jalla wa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And if somebody orders you to do something against that, that's where you draw the line.
Yeah.
You have to have boundaries in life.
No, definitely.
Restrictions, definitely. Boundaries have to be there. If there's no rules, what's going to happen?
Haywire.
There'll be chaos.
Mm-hmm.
There will be chaos. Everybody is going to be driving past the red robot, and there'll be accidents. And you understand, there has to be rules in place. So our rules, our boundaries are the Sharia. So what does the Sharia say? And now we come to knowledge. Because knowledge is a starting point.
This is the focal point of everything.
For the parents.
Right.
Starting with the parents, because a mother's lap is the first university. We're not talking about a university where they're teaching about PhD and stuff.
Right.
We're talking about Islamic university, where they're going to learn good morals, good manners, to develop their akhlaq and their character, their mannerisms. We're talking about where they will learn about Sunnah, about Quran, about who is Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahaba, Ahlul Bayt, Awliyaullah, about angels, Jannah, Jahannam. The first place, because the mother spends most time with the child. Mother has a special connection with the child. Yes, the father is the boss of the family. He's the captain of the ship.
Right.
The mother is like the co-pilot.
Correct.
But she has that certain, you know, emotional bond with the baby, with the child. So she has that influence needs to be used to train them up in accordance to Islamic values and teachings. The foundation. And then the father helps along with discipline, with the tarbiyah, with the nurturing, with the training as well. So we as Muslims, we need to see that, you know what? What does my Islam say about respecting my parents? Like the verses you mentioned, and so many ahadith are there as well. Du'as are there. That we have to respect them. We have no choice. If your parents become old, then what is the responsibility of the children? The children can't say, oh, I'm married now, I have my own children. The son will say, I don't have any place for my father, he's gone old. I don't have any place for my mother, she's gone old. She can't cook now. What am I going to what am I going to do with her at home? My father, he's gone old, he's gone weak, he can't work. How can he contribute? You need to go out there. You need to work, earn the money, and look after your parents. Who's going to look after them then? Strangers.
Because when the child was young, but actually when the child was in the womb of the mother, the mother also experienced hardships at that time.
A lot of hardships.
And then in the beginning, when the child is born, the child reaches 1 year, 2 year, 3 year. How much of, you know, difficulties go in that sometimes maybe the parents are going out to get groceries and the children are small, they're in the back, they fall off to sleep. Then to take the grocery packers, carry the child, all of that, and go into the house. So it takes a lot. If a child has to ponder over all of these here, it will make them reflect and think that, you know what, my parents, they have done so much for me when I was little. Why can't I do the same now for them? And more than that,
right,
for them as well. Very interesting story that I've read, in which there was an elderly father, right? He was old, and he took his son with him into a playground, right? And they went to have a little picnic. So they are sitting there, and the father, he picks up a ball or something he picks up, and he throws it.
Yeah.
And he tells the son, now he knows that his father is old, he can't get up to go and fetch it. Just by mistake he let it go. So the son went, picked it up, brought it back. After a short while, again he threw it. The son went again, picked it up. Third time, after a short while, the father threw it again. The son went, he picked it up. So it happened quite a few times until eventually the son, he got agitated. He lost his cool, he lost his temper, and he went to his father. He said, "Father, what is wrong with you? you don't have sense. Well, why are you throwing it so many times? And I'm going 10 times, 20 times, I'm going to fetch it and bring it back to you, but you're still throwing it.
Mm.
So his father told him that, look at your attitude, look at your mindset. When you were little, I brought you to the same very exact place.
Allah.
And when you were little, you used to do the exact same thing. You used to throw it and I would go and fetch it for you.
Mm.
No matter how many times you threw it, I still went and I fetched it for you so that you be happy and that smile be on your face. But now Allah. Today when I am doing it, you're complaining, you're getting agitated. So from this we learn that it shows if we have to, you know, ponder over how our parents had so much of patience with us when we were small. Then when they get old, we would do the exact same to them. We would take care of them. We would show affection towards them. Because at times when they get old, sometimes they may quarrel without any reason. Sometimes they may argue too without any reason. Or even if there is a reason to, still the duty of the child is to show patience upon that. And not be rude and tell the parents off like that.
In fact, elderly parents, they become in a sense like children. Meaning that their bodies get all like weak. The bone density also is decreased. And they become very vulnerable. They become slow.
Right.
Like, this is part of life.
Yeah.
And so this is where you have to give that tolerance. That respect, if the child has this understanding of, you know, the biological, the physiological changes that are taking place in my elderly mother, my elderly father, maybe that the hearing gets weakened, the sight gets weakened, you know, the mind can, you know, also get weak as well. So if you have the understanding that why they're doing what they do, what they say, then you'll have that, you'll develop the patience, you'll develop the tolerance as well. You know, it's amazing. They say that one father and mother will look after maybe three children, four children, five children as they're growing up till they get married. But one child, one son or one daughter can't look after the mother and father when they've gone old. So it's something for us to ponder about. You know, I'm earning this wealth now. I have to look after my family. Your father is not your family. Your mother is not your family. You are only there because of them. Because of them, you are there.
Right.
Because of their sacrifices. They sacrifice.
Yeah.
And a person can maybe truly understand it when they themselves become parents.
When they are in that situation.
When they're in that situation. Right. And now you are sacrificing for your child. That I'm living now actually in a sense for my child. To send them to the good school, to get good education, good madrasa, to make sure they are safe and secure. They have food on the table. You know, they have, you know, buy them things that they like toys or whatever it is. You know, when you're in that situation now, then you realize, hey, when I was little, maybe I don't remember, but my parents also, they cared for me like this. They must have cared for me like this.
Yes, definitely.
You know, because I mean, I couldn't change myself. My mother changed me. I couldn't do anything. My father helped me, you know, but obviously I won't remember. Maybe I'll remember back when I was 5 years old, perhaps 4 years old. But before that, when you're 1 year old, 2 year old, what are you going to remember? But your parents were there. They were always there. The friends will come and go.
Right.
The friends will come and go. You choose your friends. You can't choose your parents.
Definitely.
You know, so give them the due respect. And if you don't give them the due respect, then what goes around is going to come around.
In this case, right, say if the parents, you know, normally parents, they have their arguments, right? And if the parents are arguing, all right, now the child, what should the child be doing in this case? Because sometimes maybe the child is too attached to the mother and will take the mother's side, but will ignore the father, will think that the father is wrong.
Right.
Or it can happen vice versa as well, where the child is attached to the father and will think that, you know, the mother is wrong. So we see now, it may happen that, you know, sometimes the child becomes too emotional and takes one side, leaves the other side. So in this kind of a case, what should the child be doing when the parents are having an argument?
Before I get to that answer, right?
Jee.
Today, when a couple, a husband and wife has a problem and they can't resolve it, they go to the marriage counselors.
Right.
Right. When parents have a problem with their children are stubborn, not listening, rebellious, they go to the Malana Safatawis, or they'll go to a counselor, somebody that can guide them, right? But imagine, before marriage, if we went and did a course on marriage, before marriage and before children, if we went to an Alim Eddin,
right,
and learned about, you know, what are the rights and responsibilities for a husband, for a wife, for a parent towards their children?
Yeah.
How do I deal? Give me some ideas, some tips for rearing and bringing up children. This doesn't happen. Dawud Islami has online, via Faizan Online Academy, QuranTeacher.net, there is a course called Sunnat Nikah course. It covers some of these aspects it covers.
Yeah.
And I will request every person that is going to get married or who is married, do that course at your own time, at your own pace, and you'll pick up a lot of techniques, a lot of tips as well. For example, if the parents themselves don't have the proper knowledge, then what training are you going to give to your children?
Right.
It comes back to knowledge, ilmuddin. Right. And in Dawud Islami, you're learning from authentic sources, authentic books, and qualified, experienced teachers as well. So you know everything is above board. So parents themselves, they need to empower themselves with authentic knowledge on how to deal with situations. If the kids are not listening, then what strategies are there? What techniques are there?
Right.
Maybe everything won't work, but one thing, something will work. If I know how to handle the situation, how to keep calm. Now, in the situation and the scenario that you are mentioning, first thing is, parents are not supposed to be arguing in front of their children.
So that's the first thing that should be avoided.
That's the first thing. Because it has an emotional and psychological effect on their minds, on their hearts.
Okay.
If they see, and if this is happening regularly, it's terrible for the little child. Maybe there's a toddler. Right. Maybe there's a teenager.
And their perception is different.
Yeah, I mean, my mother and father are always arguing. They won't want to come home. And in some extreme circumstances, they'll run away from home.
Or they'll confide more in their friends.
They'll confide in their friends.
Yeah.
Because what am I going to speak to my parents about? They're always fighting with each other. They're always arguing and screaming at each other. They're always swearing at each other.
Right.
So, you know, they won't, that environment becomes toxic and unhealthy. And that youngster will try to make some excuses not to be at home, to be with the friends, to go and play some sports or to do some other hobby or something.
Right.
One of the main reasons is because the environment is not healthy. So number one, the parents, in fact, the kids not even supposed to know that the parents are arguing.
On the onset.
Yeah, from the beginning. The parents, if they need to discuss any matter, it must be in such a way, behind closed doors, away from the ears of the children, so that the children don't even know my mother and father have some issue,
right,
some problem, some difficulty, or some argument. That's the first step.
Right.
Next is that parents, again, if the parents have knowledge, they won't influence the child to side with them or the other. Because they won't tell the child.
If the siding is there, then that will cause a lot more problems to occur.
Definitely. Take for example, if the child sides with the mother, father's going to feel left out and hurt.
Right.
If the child sides with the father, same thing with the mother.
Mm-hmm.
The mother will feel, hey, my child is against me. Or the father will think, my child is against me. So the parents have to be mature,
right,
that you know what, I'm not going to drag my child into this dispute between us.
Right.
We need to save them from this, because mentally, emotionally, and psychologically, it will be devastating for them.
Hmm.
And ultimately, you are going to push them further away from both of you all. But there's another aspect to this.
Mm-hmm.
I was once sitting with a principal and a teacher. Both of them got like 30, 40 years experience in the education field.
Right.
And they were telling me, many of the kids we are teaching today, we taught their parents.
No.
We taught their parents. And so their parents' parents were more mature than the parents of today.
Wow.
So the kids' parents' parents were more mature than the kids' parents.
Uh-huh.
Because the teachers and the principal taught both of them, the children and the parents, the fathers and mothers of some of the children.
Right.
And we're seeing the behavior of the parents of today is not like the parents of before. They were more serious. They were more mentally mature. So, you know, parents need to reach that. We're not talking about physical maturity. Talking about emotional maturity,
right,
psychological and mental maturity.
Right.
And we see it, unfortunately, we see it today. That's called adulting, where a person, teenager, or, you know, is trying to get into or metamorphosize into becoming an adult, like becoming serious about life. Because some people feel that, no, if I'm not cool and, you know, joking and laughing all the time, then people will
think I'm boring.
I'm boring. Like, hey, I don't want to be in his company. He's always serious. Life is serious.
Hmm.
You've got to be serious. There's a time to joke and laugh. Humor has its place within the boundaries of the Sharia.
Right.
The time is there. And mostly you reserve that for internal, for the home. But when you out there in society, you know, you got to be serious. Serious about life. Serious about your deen. Serious about your salah. So there's a time and place for everything. And parents need to become more serious, but not rigid. When it comes to matters of deen and the Sharia and making sure your children are learning ilmuddin and reading their salah, that's where seriousness has to be. Other times you play with them, no problem. Play with them, games or whatever it is. Try to go for educational games that is more of more benefit, where it's fun, plus they are learning something, we are learning something as well.
Definitely. So still children, even if the parents are arguing, still they should uphold the respect of their parents.
Absolutely.
In whichever state.
And not take any side.
And not take any side. All the views of Madani Channel, I hope we have, you know, really understood this, that the level of respect we need to have for our parents, that we should not be taking sides, right? And because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also highlights the importance of parents, and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions that the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala lies in the pleasure of the parents. And the displeasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala lies in the displeasure of the parents. Once a companion of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he has narrated that a person came in the court of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and asked very humbly, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what right do parents have upon their children? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied that they both are your paradise and hell.
Allah.
They are your Jannah and Jahannam. Meaning that you will attain Jannah, you will attain paradise. How? By pleasing them, by making them happy.
Mm.
And how would you be deserving of hell? If you displease them, if you make them unhappy, you hurt their feelings. So we should take these into perspective and always respect our parents. Do you know that they were individuals who became awliya Allah, who became friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to the du'as of their parents. And how do you get the du'a of your parents? The only way you get the du'a and blessings of your parents, if you are good to them, if you make them smile, if you make them happy, that's how you would get their du'as. For example, this one story, there was an individual, and it was on a very cold night. His mother called him and told him, oh my son, get me a glass of water. So what does he do? He goes out in the middle of the night and it's cold. And it wasn't like in today's time we have, where we have, you know, easy access. We can just go into the kitchen, open the tap, and then the water comes out. Or if we want really chilled water, we can open the fridge and have a nice glass of chilled water. But back in those days, they had to go far out to get water. So the son, he goes out, he gets the water. And by the time he comes back, he goes to his mother and he sees that his mother, she fell off to sleep. What does he do? He waits there the entire night until his mother wakes up. When his mother woke up, she saw her son standing in front of her, holding the glass of water in his hand. And she says, "Oh, my son, why have you been standing here the entire night?" And he says, "Oh, my beloved mother, you wanted water. I went, I got water for you. And when I came back, I saw that you fell off to sleep. And I did not want to disturb your sleep, oh, my beloved mother. For this reason, I did not wake you up. Rather, I waited the entire night until you wake up so I can present this glass of water to you." When his mother heard this, she took the glass from his hand. He was giving it to her. The moment she took it from his hand, his skin peeled off because of how cold it was. So cold that this glass got stuck to his skin. And when his beloved mother saw this, she made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She started crying and she said that, "Oh Allah, I am pleased and happy with my son. You also be pleased with him." And who was this individual? Who was this blessed son? This blessed son was none other than the wali and friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Bayazid Bustami rahimahullah. Due to the du'as of our parents, due to the du'as of our mothers, the du'a of our fathers, we can get success in this world and in the hereafter. Yeah. Why should we be running here and there for success? Why should we be running after this person for success or after that business for success, when success is right there in our own homes, but we are not seeing it? Our success are our parents. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, that Jannah lies under the feet of the mother. Jannah lies right there. So why should we be running here and there? If we want success, if we want barakah, if we want blessings in our life, we need to take this beautiful saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we should be respecting our parents, obeying our parents, and honoring our parents. Inshallah, we have much more to discuss, but for now, let us go and listen to a very beautiful kalam in the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we will be back shortly. So stay tuned and keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mustafa, 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 ya Rasul Allah, ya Rasul Allah. مشعلِ مدحتِ مصطفیٰ ہو ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں ایسی ایک نعت لکھنے کی یا رب مجھ کو توفیق دے زندگی میں ایسی ایک نعت لکھنے کی یا رب مجھ کو توفیق دے زندگی میں ان کی زلفوں کی خوشبو سونگا ہوں ان کی زلفوں کی خوشبو سونگا ہوں ان کے قدموں کی آہٹ بتا دوں میرے لفظ مشعل مدح مصطفى ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں
وہ میری شاعری میرا فن ہے میں سخن ہوں وہ جان سخن ہے وہ میری شاعری میرا فن ہے میں سخن ہوں وہ جان سخن ہے اپنا سب کچھ انہی کا دیا ہے اپنا سب کچھ انہی کا دیا ہے اپنا سب کچھ انہی پر لوٹا دوں
میرے لفظوں میں شمس و دوحا مشعل مدح مصطفیٰ ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں
قافلے جا رہے ہیں مدینے اور حسرت سے میں تک رہا ہوں قافلے جا رہے ہیں مدینے اور حسرت سے میں تک رہا ہوں یا لپٹ جاؤں قدموں سے ان کے یا لپٹ جاؤں قدموں سے ان کے یا قضا کو پھر اپنی صدا دوں
میرے لفظوں میں شمس و دوحا میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا مشعل مدح مصطفیٰ ہو مشعل مدح مصطفیٰ ہو ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں
میری بخشش کا سامان یہی ہے میرے دل کا بھی ارماں یہی ہے میری بخشش کا سامان یہی ہے میرے دل کا بھی ارماں یہی ہے ایک دن ان کے روزے پہ جا کر ایک دن ان کے روزے پہ جا کر ان کی نعتیں انہیں کو سنا دوں
میرے لفظوں میں شمس و دوحا ہے میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا مشعل مدح مصطفیٰ ہو مشعل مدح مصطفیٰ ہو ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں
ہے تمنا کے ڈھل جاؤں یا رب پہ کرے اسوہ مصطفیٰ میں ہے تمنا کے ڈھل جاؤں یا رب پہ کرے اسوہ مصطفیٰ میں مسکراؤں اگر سنگ برسے مسکراؤں اگر سنگ برسے ہر برے کو بھلی سے دعا دوں
میرے لفظوں میں شمس و دوحا میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا مشعل مدح مصطفیٰ مشعل مدح مصطفیٰ ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں
کاش آئے جب ان کی سواری حدیب ان کے قدموں کے نیچے کاش آئے جب ان کی سواری حدیب کر روح کو تن سے باہر کھینچ کر روح کو تن سے باہر اس کی چادر بنا کر بچھا دوں میرے لفظوں میں شمس و ضحا
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. What a beautiful kalam in the praise of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And these types of the kalams, Naat Sharif, this is what rejuvenates our heart and soul for the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So coming back to our topic of discussion, in which we are discussing the respect of parents, and that we should not even say oof to our parents. If we want a good end, then we need to be good to our mother, we need to be good to our fathers as well. Now, Masa, what if, right, a person lived his entire life and his parents became displeased with him? A person, a child, he lived his entire life, he disobeyed his parents, and now his parents have passed away. Now, what can the child do in this case?
So, you see, for those whose parents are still alive, they need to look at this also and make the mindset that they must not live with regret. That tomorrow, if my mother and my father passes away, then will they be pleased with me? Or will I have that regret that I could have done something, or I could have done more, or said something with regards to maintaining their respect and their love and helping them, supporting them? But in that case where the parents have passed on and maybe the children were not obedient, were not respectful, then the scholars have mentioned those children should make dua of maghfirah in excess. So excessively make dua of forgiveness for their parents, right? They should also give sadaqat and charities and send the isali thawab to their parents as well. They should continue fulfilling the rites in the sense that they must keep in touch with the parents, family members and friends as well, those that they were close to. They should also, where possible, do the kafara of the parents, salahs. Maybe qaza salahs were there, or maybe they didn't give zakah, or they're fasting and these kind of things. And sons out there should visit the parents' graves often. So these few things that can still be done even after the passing away of the parents, there's hope there that the parents would become pleased with the children.
Subhanallah. So that was very, very beautifully explained. Well, the viewers of Madani Channel, if your parents are alive, take this opportunity, treat them well, love them, respect them, and honor them. And if your parents are not alive, then make dua for them. Do e-salat thawab for them. When you are reciting the Holy Quran, make intention to send e-salat thawab for them as well. When you are reciting salawat, then make the intention to send the reward of salawat as e-salat thawab to your parents as well. And if you want success, if you want this your world to become, this world to be better, your matters to be good, if you want to get a new job, if you want barakah in your life, in your marriage, in your business, in your work, that all lies in your parents. By making them happy, by making them pleased, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become pleased with you, inshallah. Well, the viewers of Madani Channel, we have reached right to the end of today's episode, and I hope and pray that we implement whatever we have heard today in our life so that they may be barakah and prosperity in our lives, inshallah. Until next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom.